Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, you shall say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door's already been locked. My children are with me in bed. I cannot give up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not give up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I ask you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who searches finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace be to you from God and from Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, one would imagine that hearing the text being read today, this is one of those soft, fat pitches that comes to a Worth or a Murphy for the Nats, and they're just, you know, they're just going to hit it out of the ballpark. Because what preacher doesn't like to be given the Lord's Prayer as a text, right? And yet, the more I read it, the more I thought about it, and especially all of that that came afterwards, it probably raised for me more questions than it gave me more answers. And so, in the midst of that, that's probably what Jesus was doing. Good rabbis would ask questions for people to grapple with in their lives. And so he was being a good rabbi at this point, by asking these kinds of questions and making people think and reconsider their conceptions of what they had thought something was and possibly what else it could be. A number of theologians like to kind of describe what prayer might be or might mean. One such theologian, she said, "Well, all prayer is either thank you, thank you, thank you, or help me, help me, help me." Another says, "Well, prayer is primarily listening, listening to God, listening to the needs of the world." Another says, "Prayer is primarily doing. That is, that which we pray for, we have to be a participant in." To which I would say yes to all of those. We see that prayers are all over the place. They're in our life. They're here when we come on a Sunday morning. They're in our culture. We see groups of teams or huddling together, praying before a soccer match or a baseball game or whatever it might be. We hear prayers that are prayed prior and after even the convention this week. We even see prayers that are posted on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They're out there. They're part of our culture. In some ways, that's really interesting and good and important. And in other ways, it sometimes almost feels like, "How are you? Oh, I'm fine." And we go on our merry way. It's interesting what prayer has become in our lives, not just personally, but in society and culture. I think the ones that that bother me the most are the ones that come over Facebook and says, you know, pray for such and such and like it and share it so that if we get so many likes and shares, then the prayers will really be heard or something like that. And I think, no, that's not what it's about. Prayers. They're in your life. They're in my life. Praying. We pray the Our Father. We will later in the service. Others pray the rosary. Others pray a mantra. Others pray at mealtimes. Others pray by hospital beds. We have prayers that permeate our life together. For the most part, they enrich our lives. They give us some sustenance, some encouragement, and even courage along the way. We say to one another, keep me in your prayers. We even turn in prayer cards knowing they will be used in some way during the prayers that we have here in church, the prayers of the church that we gather together. But there are questions that are raised by this text as well. How is it that we pray? What do we pray for? Is prayer a recitation? A rite? What is the attitude of prayer? What is the stance by which we pray? And so the disciples, knowing that John had done it, and they had seen Jesus pray, and we have in the Gospels, at least the two Gospels that give us the Lord's Prayer, which is only Matthew and Luke, we see that Jesus actually prays a lot of times. Jesus prays one long prayer, like a chapter and a half prayer in the Gospel of John. It's a prayer for unity. The world and God would be one. And we see Jesus pray in the garden. We see Jesus pray many times. And so here, the disciples have said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And on one level, that becomes sort of our model. It shows in sort of its petitions that which prayer is made of. Petitions of praise, of promise, of provision, of power, and of protection. And at other times, this prayer that Christ gives the disciples, it's really an invitation. It's not so much that Jesus was saying, okay, now that I've given you this prayer, each time we sit down before the feeding of the 5,000 and each time we sit down before a mini sermon on the Mount, we're going to pray this prayer together. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about using this prayer as part of our whole life together, as a way in which we live into and amongst the kingdom of God. In fact, it's an invitation that we enter into conversation with the holy. As I said to you, Luke and Matthew are the only two Gospels that record this, which we have given the name to the Lord's Prayer. Matthew, who writes to those of the Jewish faith, particularly those of learned heritage, puts it in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew has like three chapters of Jesus very, very early in the Gospel. Jesus, all of these sayings collected together as the Sermon on the Mount, and right in the midst of it comes the Lord's Prayer. The text today from Luke comes after Jesus visits Mary and Martha. A day or two goes by. The disciples see him pray, and so he responds to their request and gives them this prayer. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus goes on to give us these odd little examples. What do they mean? What was Jesus trying to say? What point was there? Well, there's an exaggeration going on. Jesus is using a technique of exaggeration. And the words, how much more, are the key to unlocking that exaggeration. I mean, we use exaggeration all the time as a way to come across with a point. When my son, who's now 36, and the one who has the twins, was a little tyke, I used to say to people, I love my son, but there are days I trade him in for a used car. He would just be that much, I couldn't deal. We use that as kind of a way to make a point. And so Jesus is saying, let me make this point about what prayer is, what prayer isn't, how to pray, and what to expect. This is more about God than it is about us. That's the interesting part of this text today. The way Jesus puts it is that he wants you to come up with the answer by the questions he gives. It begs a response from us. So it asks, would you give someone a fish? I mean, would you give someone a snake when they ask for a fish? And your response is, well, of course not. Would you give someone a scorpion when they ask for an egg? Of course not. And then comes the words, how much more would God give you? How much more does God respond to us? That's the point of it. It's not about that somehow if we nag or cajole God enough, God with God's arm rested behind his back says, okay, I give, you can have it. That's not the how much more. And it's also not about the how much more of, oh God, give me $5 and an envelope tomorrow shows up with $10 in it. That's not what the text is talking about. The text is always about God's actions with us and in this world. And what God gives us in the how much more is the very presence of God in our life. More than we could ever ask for, God is present in every part of our life. We pray for healing. It may come, or the disease may be far too invasive and far too long to be reversed. But God still promises to be with us or the loved one that we've prayed for. It's God's presence is the how much more. I think sometimes it's difficult to pray. I think sometimes, there's times and places that make it hard to pray, but sometimes it's just hard to pray when we're asked to pray for someone who hurt us. Or we're asked to pray for an enemy. Or we're asked to pray for understanding, knowing it's going to take me out of my comfort zone. It's hard to pray for fairness and equality and also all of a sudden find out that my fair share is less than I already have. Or to pray for peace and know I have to work toward it. Or to pray for justice and realize that I'm a part of a system that's not always just. Sometimes it's hard to pray. And yet sometimes that how much more is not only God present with us, but you and I are the presence of God with someone else in that prayer. It might be that I am with you in that prayer by my presence, or you with me. Prayer is one of those things that's difficult to grasp sometimes. You and I may pray both for the healing of our aunt who is ill. Your aunt recovers and mine leaves her family in grief. How come yours was answered and mine wasn't? And some would say, oh, it's because your answer was yes and my answer was no. Well, that doesn't cut it. Because it still begs the question, how come you got a yes and I got a no? The point is, with this how much more, is the how much more is God going to be present with us? Not what the outcome is, but the presence of God within the outcome is what we experience and know as a promise. My faith tells me that when I pray, God promises God's presence in whatever the outcome is in this imperfect, broken world and life. And that's an answer I can trust in and believe in. Yes, it's hard sometimes to pray. And there are those barriers. And sometimes we can only pray those words which Jesus gave us, because that's the only words that come to us. And we use them as a way to center ourselves back in the midst of God's presence. And yes, we pray before bed. We pray before a meal. Important times to prayer, for prayer. But there's also the prayer that we're involved in every day. I find myself more and more when people say to me, "Will you keep me in your prayers?" I say to God, "God be with them. God be with them. God be with me. God be with her." And that's the extent of it. Because in whatever way God can be, I want God to be sharing in the sorrow, sharing in the joy, sharing in the death and resurrection, sharing in the hope, sharing in the patience, sharing in the love. That God shares in the loneliness, shares in our fears, and shares when we laugh. How much more could we want than God does that with us every day? That was told to us a long time ago when we were infants, or maybe later, whenever you were baptized. And some water was placed on your head, and you were told these words: "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit," and then it comes, "You are marked with the cross of Christ," for how long? Yeah, not one day, not 2 days, forever. Forever. God's presence promised to us forever. How much more could we want? And you may be that presence when you speak to a stranger, when you pay a visit. You may be that. And likewise, you may be for me someday God's presence, because you've offered your shoulder for me to laugh on, or perhaps to weep upon. Oh, there's so much more, Jesus says. So much more. Amen.